Emily St. John Mandel's new novel, Station 11, opens with a vain actor, and is there really any other kind, who dies of a heart attack on stage as he plays King Lear in Toronto. His co-stars can't remember if he had a family to notify. But soon, and I mean within minutes, the death of one man playing Lear disappears into the vast mass death of a worldwide plague called the Georgian flu. And the novel skips forward 20 years to a young adult who was just 8 when she was on stage with the actor and now tries to make her way in a world that's been shorn of most of what we call civilization. Station 11 has been a bestseller. It won the Arthur C. Clarke Award and was a finalist for the National Book Award. It's just come out in paperback. And Emily St. John Mandel joins us from the studios of WHYY in Philadelphia. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
So what's this world look like?
This world looks very depopulated. It's obviously bleak in a lot of ways because we've entered into a radically altered world where we've really lost everything that we take for granted in the present day.
No cities, no countries.
No cities, right. No countries, no internet, no more Facebook, no more email. I very purposely set much of the action 15 and then 20 years after that flu pandemic. And the reason for that is that I feel that most dystopian fiction tend to dwell in that immediate aftermath of horror and mayhem. What I was really interested in writing about was what's the new culture and the new world that begins to emerge. In this altered world, there is a traveling Shakespearean theater company and symphony orchestra touring the small and fairly isolated communities in the Midwest.
Yeah, and which is why I didn't like calling the novel dystopian, because this is a hopeful band of people who are trying to preserve what they think of as the best of the old world.
Right, exactly. I found it hopeful. You know, it's interesting. It's not that I don't think that there would be a period of absolute mayhem and chaos and horror. Mm-hmm. It's that I don't think that period would last forever everywhere on Earth, you know, just because mayhem's not a terribly sustainable way of life. It seemed at least plausible to me that there would eventually be some kind of hope. Perhaps it's wishful thinking on my part, but I did like the idea that a Shakespearean company might be able to make it.
Yeah, and a comic book becomes a kind of holy book in this new world.
It does, it does. You know, it's interesting to think about what survives. I remember describing the premise of the novel to my husband, and he said people would want what was best about the world.
That's a line in the book, isn't it?
I think it is. I think
yeah.
I gave that line to one of the characters.
You
yeah.
Did, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. Of course, you hope that in a scenario like this, what would survive would be the Beethoven symphonies, the Shakespeare plays, the things that we think of as the highest and most exalted expressions of our culture. What if it's also a self-published comic book? Yeah, I was interested in the randomness of what survives and what doesn't. So, yeah, there is a comic book that's drawn by a character in the present day. Mm-hmm. She has no expectation that anybody else will ever see her work. For her, the important thing is the work itself, not whether or not it's ever published.
The way the book pings back and forth, if I might put it that way, between the, mm-hmm. you know, the works of Shakespeare and this traveling troupe called the Traveling Symphony. But I believe their motto is survival is insufficient, which
yes.
is not from Shakespeare, is it?
It is not from Shakespeare. I, in fact, stole it shamelessly from Star Trek Voyager.
Yes.
Yes, an episode that aired in 1999. I remember watching that episode, and I remember being absolutely struck by that line.
Yeah.
Survival is never sufficient. Here in the present, we play musical instruments in refugee camps. We put on plays in war zones. Immediately following the Second World War, there was a fashion show in Paris. Now, there's something about art, I think, that can remind us of our humanity. It can remind us of civilization. So that line became almost the thesis statement of the entire novel.
Do you have any theory as to why, I'll phrase it this way, post-world fiction has had such a huge revival?
A suggestion that I hear quite often is that our interest in post-apocalyptic fiction is a natural expression of the anxiety we feel. We always seem to think the world's ending. It's some sort of combination of pessimism or narcissism that it's almost as though we want to believe we're living at the climax of the story. Someone suggested to me that it has to do with economic inequality, that we secretly desire a situation in which this entire apparatus is blown up and we all start over again on perfectly equal footing. The theory that I found the most interesting was suggested to me by a bookseller in England last year. She thought perhaps our interest had to do with the fact that there are no more frontiers. You know, it's no longer possible to set out as a pioneer and stake a claim and start a new life. And now that that's all mapped and charted out and there are no more frontiers, that's left us with a certain restlessness that I suppose gets channeled into our interest in this futuristic speculative fiction. I find that to be the most interesting idea.
If the world were violently, tragically shrunk mm-hmm. and essentially returned in time, mm-hmm. as you write about here, what do you think you'd want to save?
You know, I think I would want to save a globe. Something that came up for me as I was writing this book was how incredibly local your world would become. You know, here I am in Philadelphia this afternoon. If I lived in Philadelphia, I would have no idea what was going on, even in rural Pennsylvania, let alone Asia. You know, your mm-hmm. world would become so small so quickly. And I think it would be very easy to lose perspective and think that this was the entire world. So I would want a globe just to remember that there was a world out there.
Emily St. John Mandel, her highly praised novel, Station 11, has just come out in paperback. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.